really touch my heart. Oh, I love all the things that God has been doing here at Bear Creek. I'll tell you, this past week has been full of so many blessings because, you know, we had a food distribution and connected with a lot of people that came. And hearing their stories, I got so much time to just kind of walk to their cars and talk to them about kind of the struggles of life. And it was a joy to be here and watch Carrie Cooper handing out gifts to families for their children. So many of them said, if it weren't for this church, my kids wouldn't have had any Christmas gifts this year. We gave away almost 50 gifts to 50 children this year. And what I love the most is how you love people. And the people that come up here, they feel the warmth of God's love. Even though so many of them are probably pretty far from the Lord, they at least experience the warmth of God's love. And I'll tell you what, it's his kindness draws us to repentance, Scripture says. And it's that love of his people that is so, I think, overwhelming to them. So thank you for that, and thank you for just all that you do. Also, thank you for the gifts that some of you put on my desk. There have been a couple of gifts on my desk, no names on them, and I'm just like, praise the Lord, coffee. Praise the Lord, a coffee cup. I think everybody knows I love coffee, all right? But I want to say thank you for that, all right? Let me show you a picture of a guy. It's going on the screen right now. We're going to keep this on the screen. This is Hiro Onoda. He was the last Japanese imperial soldier to emerge from hiding in World War II. Get this. He walked out of the jungles of Lubang, which is an island off the coast of the Philippines, 29 years after the war ended. One reporter said when he emerged from the jungle, he was emaciated and wearing fatigues that had been patched and repatched and repatched. He was dropped into the jungle on Christmas Day, 1944, to spy on U.S. troop activity. And so he was planted there on this island to watch any activity that might happen, that the U.S. were making any kind of maneuvers. He was 23 years old when they dropped him off. He emerged from the jungle when he was 52. In the military, they suspected that he was alive. There were several sightings of Onoda, and friends and family even distributed flyers throughout the island to try to track him down. And finally, a former commander took a search party, and the commander had already retired from the military, took a search party and went back and combed the island. And in March of 1972, they located him. When his commander saw him, he stood to attention. He said, "Hiro Onoda, the war is over. Your assignment is over. Come out." And Onoda gathered his belongings and walked out of the jungle. And in a sense, that's the message of Christmas. Today we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the message that God sends out to the world is the war is over. Come out. Come out of the jungle. Last night we talked about the gift of Christ, and today we celebrate the victory that he brings. Amen? So we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 4. And it says this. This is Paul, and he's reflecting back to the Christmas story. He's just trying to drive home the importance and the significance of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And here's what he says, chapter 4, verse 4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word, that it is inerrant, it is without error. It is authoritative. It speaks into our lives. It changes us from the inside out. We thank you for the power of your word. May it be sent out this morning on this Christmas day as we reflect the wonder of Jesus on Christmas. In Christ's name, amen. Here's what that passage says. God sent his son. God made you his own. God gave you his Spirit. And God set you free. And listen, the war is over. The war is over. From this passage, we find victory in Jesus. We find the true meaning of Christmas, don't we? Let's walk through this. We're going to go through point by point, and you're going to see these points show up on the screen. If you want to write them on your wife's hand, you can. You can take notes on her hand if you don't have a piece of paper. But I just thought I'd put together something that, what does Christmas mean? And I think that this passage right here captures it from the beginning to the end. And I really just love it. So Christmas means, number one, God sent his son. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. We kind of talked about this last night, because here's the deal. The entire Old Testament, actually the entire Bible, is about Jesus. The entire Old Testament is like this huge arrow that points to the Son of the living God. And it's this arrow that points to the Savior, and it keeps saying, this is God saying, I'm bringing a gift. I'm going to send you a gift. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. 360 prophecies, 180 fulfilled in the first coming of Christ. Okay? And so Scripture is saying he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And then it says here in Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. And just think about all that time that went by. Time moved along, moments in history, people had come and gone, right? Empires had come and gone. Battles were won and lost, miracles and prophecies, incredible works of God. They had all come, all in preparation for this one moment, for this moment that God would send his son, all to prepare us for this child in a stable. Isn't that something? And, Scripture says people were living in darkness, and many like us today had turned cold and had forgotten God. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And it says in verse 4, listen to this. He was born of a woman and born under the law. He was born of a woman. That just shows us he's like you and I, born of a woman. John 1 says he became flesh and dwelt among us. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant, a being born in the likeness of a human being. And so just like us, he was born under the law. When it says born under the law, that means it wasn't, the Jews were the people of the law, yes. But in reality, all human beings are born under the law. We're all accountable to it, right? So God holds up his standard and says, you got to meet that standard if you want to be close to me. You got to meet that standard if you want to have eternal life. And he holds this standard up, but none of us can meet it. And here's the thing, when we hear that he is born of a woman, we start to realize he can relate to us. He is fully God, but he's also fully man. That's not 50-50. That's 100% God, 100% man. He can fully relate. And so you might think, he can't relate to me. I just can't relate to him, and he can't relate to me. But listen, he was tempted in every way, Scripture says. Just like you. He experienced the same hurts and feelings and emotions that you feel. the same kinds of experiences that you have and I have. He had many of the same kinds of experiences. He can fully relate. He can fully sympathize with you. That is good news. Hebrews chapter 4, this is just the chapter before this one we're going through. It says this, For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as you are, yet was without sin. So God held up the standard. And Jesus was tempted in every way, but he kept the standard, unlike any other human being. So Christmas means that God, he sent his son. Number two, Christmas means God made you his own. I love this part. It's one of my favorite parts right here. Verse 5, it says this, or actually at the end of verse 4, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, moving into verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. We could be adopted into his family, right? Did you hear that? He says to redeem those who are under the law. What does that mean? Well, redeem means paid in full. And so when you hear this word, the law has demands, right? And so you're under the law, and he's come to redeem those who are under the law to pay in full their debt. Isn't that something? And so here's the thing. You're a lawbreaker. I'm a lawbreaker. We can't hold the standard. And so what happens is the debt mounts up, and we can't pay it off. It's a debt you can't pay. And the good news is Jesus came to redeem you, to pay that debt in full. How? Well, the cross. By his blood, by his sacrifice, he paid your debt. And so it says, he made you his own. Look at verse 5. To redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And if you've put your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, God has made you his own. You are a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The right to become children of God. You didn't earn it. He gave this as a free gift, and he has extended this gift out and has given you the right to become a child of God. I like to say that at creation, he created you, right? When you were born, he created you. When you were born again, he adopted you as a child, as a son and a daughter. And so Christmas means God sent his son, God made you his own. Here's number three, God gave you his spirit. Look what he says in verse 6. And because you are sons and daughters, right? God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I love that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So he redeemed you, right? He paid your debt in full. You're no longer under the law. And now he sealed you with his Holy Spirit. And if you are led, this is Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. You have now come out from under the law. Scripture says, when you come to know Christ, you are adopted into his family. And you are sealed with his Holy Spirit. And that is such good news, y'all. It's good news of great joy. Scripture says the Spirit is your helper. He leads you. He guides you. He directs you. He convicts you of sin. And so when you know you're kind of steering off course and you sense that, that's the Spirit of God convicting you to get you back on course. He empowers you. The Christian life is the impossible life. We can't do it in our own strength. And so he empowers you. The only thing you could do before is try to blindly make your way through the jungle, right? On your own. And before Jesus came, everyone lived by the flesh. Under God's perfect law, your flesh is weak. It has strong demands and desires, and it leads you astray. But now he has given you his Spirit. And his Spirit leads you to this new life. I love in Galatians 5, this is, and I want to give you a little preface for this. I'm going through the book of Galatians starting in January, so I think I'm a little amped up on Galatians right now, okay? So I'll be starting a new series in Galatians, but here's what he says in Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." The flesh is the sin nature, right? It leads you to all the wrong things. It causes you to want to develop and build a lifestyle on your own. And this is my life. I can do with it whatever I want to do. It's that spirit. It's that sin nature, right? In verse 17, it says this, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." They sort of clash and fight against each other. "And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." In other words, God put a new want in your heart, and you want to follow him, but you're like Paul. Paul says, "I don't understand the things that I do. What I want to do, I do not do, and what I hate to do, I do." And so it's this battle. Verse 18 of chapter 5, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." I love what Ezekiel says in his prophecy. And he prophesied this 600 years before Jesus, that one day God would give you a new heart and put his Spirit inside of you. And that's what happens at salvation. And again, it says, "God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts." Look what this next part says, "crying out, Abba, Father." By his Spirit, God aims to teach you how to sense his prompting. And by his Spirit, he aims to teach you how to respond to his conviction. This is all a part of the plan. This is all a part of why he sent God's Son. As he is by his Spirit, he aims to convict your heart, to show you how to trust him and how to trust in his power, and to live with the joy of his presence in your life, which is the life that you've always wanted. You just couldn't achieve it on your own. Look what verse 6 says again. So he gives you this Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your heart. And then there's this heart cry, "Abba, Father." This is huge. This is huge. The Spirit is how God ties your heart to his. And when he ties your heart to his, you cry out, "Abba, Father." Abba is actually a Hebrew word that means daddy. It's an endearing word. And so no longer is he this religious, distant figure, but he is this close, intimate father. So close that the Spirit has moved your heart to tie your heart to his so well, so intimately, that you can't help but just cry out, "Abba, Father, daddy." That's how close you are. So Christmas means that God sent his Son, God made you his own, and God gave you his Spirit. And finally, Christmas means that God set you free. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 7. "See, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." You're no longer a slave. Don't you love that song? No longer a slave. A slave to what? You're no longer a slave to what? No longer a slave to sin. You know, when I was far from God, I couldn't even identify this problem in my life. I couldn't identify it, that I was a slave to sin. I couldn't identify it. I thought I was living free. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I thought I was living free, okay? And I thought all this religious stuff was just a big list of rules, okay? I'm like, why would I follow those rules? I'm living free. I do what I want to do. Why would I want that? Well, here's the secret, okay? I was deceived, right? I was more in bondage then than I have ever been in my entire life. I was a slave, all right? The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give me abundant life, right? And so back then, I felt like I was free. I was free from religious rules and commands, right? I mean, when you're doing your own thing, you feel that way. But I was wrong. I was deceived. And you can live your life this way and feel good for a period of time. But eventually, you'll start to realize it's robbing you of more than you think. You might be pretty good at it for a while, the successful job, the financial security, the good life. But little do you know, the thief is just picking away and stealing things from you, the most important things in life from you. And so you're trading your life and your destiny away for the temporary pleasures of this world. And you think you're free, but you're really a slave. But Jesus has come to set you free. Amen? Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, this is really God scolding the church of Laodicea. They were just kind of chilled out. They thought, hey, look, we got plenty of money. We're fine. We don't really need a whole lot of stuff. And here's what God has to say about them. You think you're so full, right? For you say, I am rich, and I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. That was me. That was me before I came to know Christ. And listen, in Christ, you are no longer tied to this world. You're not tied to the things of this world. You are tied to Him. And because of that, you can live with the greatest freedom known on earth. I love what Greg Laurie says. He gives this great picture, and I like to use this. So Greg Laurie has this big dog, and he had this little parakeet in a cage in his house. And he came home one day, and the parakeet cage was open, and he's like, oh no, the dog, right? So he goes through, and he has the back door open as well, and he walks through the back door, and he sees pinned up against the corner of the fence, there's this little bird just sort of trembling, and this big whatever Rottweiler just looking down, going, at the bird. He's like, I just saved this bird in the nick of time. And it's trembling, and its feathers are all raveled, and he takes the bird, he puts it back in the cage, and he closes the cage. And he says, within about 30 minutes, the bird was singing again, and all of its feathers were laid flat. And he says, that's kind of like us, right? We need boundaries to experience God's freedom. And these boundaries protect us, and they give us the greatest freedom that we can imagine. They're like guardrails that keep us from tumbling over the ledge, right? And that's like you. And I hope that you have come to the point where you have contended with this, because this is the reason Jesus was born in that stable. This is the reason. The reason he was born in that stable was because he had come because God sent his son, right? He had come because God wants to make you his own. He had come because God intends to give you his spirit and set you free. That's why he came. You ever seen the movie Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe? Anyone? My daughter definitely has. We've watched it several times. This was written by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is a Bible scholar. The guy is amazing. And so if you remember that movie, there's this young man, Peter, in the movie, and he likes to live life on the edge. He kind of didn't like to follow the rules. He goes where he wants to go, and he does what he wants to do, and he encourages the witch, then this witch shows up, okay? And when this witch shows up, she offers Peter some, do you remember what he offered? Turkish delights, right? Some sweet candy. And so she started to manipulate him and deceive him with this Turkish delight. And then the more she fed him, the more he wanted it, and the more she could control him and get him to do what she wanted him to do. She was a deceiver, all right? And so she promised joy and fulfillment if he would just follow her ways, and she would keep feeding him the Turkish delights. And whenever he got off track, she would withhold it from him. And he would come back and say, I'll do whatever you want. Just give me some more of those. I'll trade everything. Then he realizes that in the end, he was deceived. But it's too late. And it seems like all is lost. And it seems like he was going to belong to the witch, the white witch. But then the lion comes, and he's the king. And the lion lays down his life for Peter, and Peter is set free, and the lion is killed. That's a picture of what Christ has done for you. From that day on, because of the sacrifice and the love shown by the lion, Peter lived the rest of his life for the glory of the king. And my prayer tonight, or today, I'm losing track of the days, people, is that you will find the same thing. That's the message in the story of Christmas. Christmas means God sent his son, he made you his own, God gave you his spirit, and God set you free if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then the war is over. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that night. That cold night. When a baby was delivered, who would come fully God, fully man, in a lowly stable, raised as a simple child in a village, until the day would come and he would begin to speak and begin to minister to the people and open the eyes of the blind. He would bring light into the darkness. He would bring abundant life to those who are in desperate need of life. And I pray that for each person here tonight, today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.